Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Rich Hills Golf Show podcast, episode 203. It's the day after the Ryder Cup, 2023. I have just landed back from Rome after being there all week, and I cannot wait to do this podcast. I am, you might hear from my voice, let's say I've been chanting a little bit too much. Now, obviously, Guy is not here today. He is on holiday, so I've flown also all the way from Rome, Italy. Special co-host. She's been on the channel many times, Sophie Walker. Sophie, thanks for being here.
I wouldn't have missed it. I agreed to do this podcast last week knowing that I was going to be flying in from Rome and knowing that the Europeans would have the trophy in their hand. It was coming Rome from the very first tee shot.
Coming Rome. I like that.
Do you like that? I used that on the radio when I was doing it. My producer said, that's a good line.
That's a really good line. Yes, it's honestly epic, epic, epic week. Europe took the victory. Quite a dominating victory. I want to kind of dive into little bits. There's loads of little side stories. My experience being there. We want to hear your experience being there, Sophie. Also, you've just been on a crazy run where you've done back-to-back weeks. 2 weeks ago, Solheim Cup, where Europe also took the victory. Straight into Rome at the Ryder Cup. You must be absolutely goosed.
Yeah, I don't know what day it is. And if the USA team would have won either of them, I think my energy levels would have been a lot lower. But the fact that it was an unbelievable finish to the Solheim Cup with Caroline Hedwall and Carlotta Zaganda, who, you know, I grew up playing junior golf with, they won. And then we just rolled into Rome. And I don't know about you, walking into those grounds and seeing the size of that Ryder Cup, it was 30% bigger apparently than Paris. It was incredible. And then the 4-0 start. Energy levels went from 0 to 100% very quickly.
It was ridiculous. And just to put into context, just in case anyone did miss it, what was your main kind of role over there at the Ryder Cup this week?
Last week it was with the radio. So everybody that bought the radio headsets, if you listen to it on the app, we was also on Sirius FM, which is a big American station, as well as TalkSport 2. So it was like the worldwide feed for radio. And radio is really fun because you get to go out into the field. There's no sitting in a booth and watching it on TV. You're out there amongst it, calling shots, and you're allowed to be as excited as you want to be.
Are you allowed to show bias?
Well, we were world feed, so we wasn't supposed to. However, it was really hard not to say we. But because I do world feed quite a lot, I was slightly better at doing it. And we did have a few Americans on the team as well, like Colt Knotts did some work. And I took it upon myself to try and be as neutral as possible because I do a bit of PGA Tour stuff as well. But we had an Italian on the radio called Alberto. I mean, he was biased, so biased. So it was fun in the end.
Well, you kind of expect it. You know, I had a great week over there. I was invited by Sky Sports, which was phenomenal. And in the kind of hospitality on the side of 16 was a real mixture of Americans, probably more Americans. I felt like I was almost in the away end sometimes when I was up in the Sky stand because there was like, you know, so many people from NBC, etc. So it's like, I was almost like being extra vocal and really trying to support Europe as much as we can because it felt like up there I did feel in the away end. However, where I didn't feel like the away end, first grandstand on Friday morning.
Yeah, I want to ask you, because you went as a fan, didn't you? I was there working. So as a fan, tell me about that Ryder Cup and especially that first tee box.
Honestly, Sophie, I was the reason why I was so desperate to go to the first tee on Friday is I got the opportunity to do it in France. And when I say opportunity, to get on the grandstand of the Ryder Cup isn't easy. I didn't get any extra special passes. I had to fight through the trenches in Paris on the Friday. I can't remember what time I arrived at the golf club, but it was ridiculously early, like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or something silly. And I actually legged it all the way to the first grandstand, got on the grandstand, and it was the greatest 4 hours to watch 8 shots I've ever done in my life. So I was like, I do not miss this opportunity here in Rome. So I did get in a little bit earlier because I kind of managed to wangle a few things. So I actually got there almost pretty much first. Like, I got a video of me right up on the top of the grandstand going around and just filming it. It was eerily quiet. And then the floodgates opened. There was obviously reserved seats, but I got on the grandstand just to the left-hand side. And, you know, again, queued up there for ages. The action actually started pretty quickly after, because I think the first tee off was like 7:30 or something in the morning.
It was at first light, nearly,
pretty
wasn't
much.
It?
And the atmosphere, the energy, the excitement, the fancy dress, the chance, the humour, the kind of friendly banter, obviously, is between the Europeans and the USA. Like, nothing beats it. And the sun was coming up and it was like, it's just epic. It's one of those moments you really look back on. And I think TV, from what I've seen, really captured the atmosphere and the energy. And I think they really lent into this idea of being able to show off the guys with the fancy dress and to be able to kind of really lean into it. I actually want to see Fancy Dress Friday at the Ryder Cup. I actually think that should be a new thing. Everybody comes in fancy dress. So I think it would just be absolutely electric. And then, like I say, to watch 8 golf shots, because that's all you do off the first tee. How do those, genuinely, Sophie, how the hell do they hit it under that much pressure? I wouldn't be able to tee the ball up.
No, I mean, I'm sure everybody's seen the pictures, but it's a horseshoe of grandstand. And what they do really well is you walk underneath the grandstand and you come out through a tunnel. And I actually did that walk with nobody there, but I'm just imagining what would go on. And I think the best thing the players can do is to do that walk, imagining what's going to happen. I think you have to put it in your head and think, what will I feel like doing this? Will I be nervous? Obviously. How am I going to cope with that? You almost have to do that dress rehearsal. But, I mean, the fact that in the morning they could hit driver, couldn't they? So you want the biggest club in your bag there. But there weren't too many great tee shots. The Americans especially whiffed it quite a long way to the right, didn't they, on occasions.
It's quite a challenging tee shot.
It's quite a narrow tee shot. And the ones that handled it best were, firstly, the better drivers of the golf ball, somebody like Victor Hovland. And I like the way that you learn a little bit about the character. Like, Scotty Scheffler was doing practice swings and everyone was like, way, way, like this. Honestly, I don't know how you do it other than lots of rehearsals and almost forgetting where you are. That's what you have to do. And then the relief when they walk off the tee, that was the best. And they were raising their hands going, come on.
Oh, God. But it gives you real goosebumps.
Yeah, it's incredible what they do off that first tee at the Ryder Cup. And Bob McIntyre, when he left the practice ground, said he was crying because he knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to hit that first tee shot of the Ryder Cup. And he was
crying.
Yeah. And I was with somebody today on the plane and apparently at breakfast on the Sunday, he was saying to Sepp Straka, how are you feeling? And Sepp's like, I'm good, I feel fine. And Rob said, I am myself. Yeah.
He went undefeated.
I know.
He went undefeated. It's like, as a rookie, he's like, just come straight into it. Like, what the hell? This podcast would be 6 hours long if we wanted to, because we could go into each player and everything else. But I just think as a team unit, you could see it on the first tee again, how they had their arms around each other. And a couple of things I noticed, like, in the foursomes in the morning, both pairs walked out the tunnel together. from the European side. Both players, both sets of caddies, huge cheer, wrapping their arms around each other. All the non-playing players were there on the first hole. You didn't see that from the USA. You saw individuals coming out on the first tee. You didn't see as many non-playing players on the first tee ready to go. Just a very different kind of mindset and attitude. And obviously, that all stems from the captaincy. I'll tell you one really funny thing before we kind of move on to something else. I almost had one of the most surreal moments of my life. So I'm on the grandstand, okay? And again, I'm kind of just incognito. I'm kind of looking around, just soaking it all in. There's a pocket of fans behind me, okay, who'd spotted me, and a few times Ricky, I'm waving this and the other. They very, very nearly got a full chant going, and I'm not sure what would have happened as my reaction. These guys were adamant they were going to get a Ricky Shields, Rick, and I'm thinking, if this goes,
it's no Tommy Fleetwood, that is it.
Thankfully, not enough people in the grandstand knew who the hell I was, so nothing happened, thankfully. But that would have been a bit surreal. But yeah, first tee grandstand, they're off. The matches obviously went outrageously well for the Europeans. 4-0 whitewash in the morning, which, I mean, you'll know better stats than me. That doesn't happen many times, has it, really, a full whitewash in the morning?
No, it's only happened a couple of times. And if you win 4-0, you win the Ryder Cup. That's kind of the way it goes. And what Luke Donald did was he looked at the stats and he said, we're better at foursomes than we are fourballs. So he changed it. The first time in 30 years, he changed that format to start with foursomes. And bear in mind that the Ryder Cup has never been won on away soil for 30 years. So he was tempting fate there. But it went well. And I looked at the USA team and I thought that they're decent pairings. I was surprised they left Spieth and Thomas out, but obviously what happened the next 3 days, maybe not. But I thought, good pairings there. We'll see how it goes. 2-2 would be quite a good result. And then the Europeans were just off the chart. Just so, so good.
There's been obviously a lot of talk about captaincies. From the outset, you might know a bit more than me again. It seemed like Luke Donald was an incredibly popular captain for the Europeans. Like, even when they lifted the Ryder Cup and straight after, they were shouting, like, two more years. Like, that was from the players. Like, they want to see Luke Donald captain again in Bethpage in 2 years' time. Like, it felt like he'd really captured that kind of team morale. I think he's really well-respected. He's really well-liked. And from everything I'm seeing, he kind of killed it. He bossed the whole captaincy of it. Would you kind of agree?
Yeah, I would. I was at the opening ceremony. We were covering that, and Zach Johnson came out, and I didn't find his speech that inspiring. He just did exactly what he should have done. Said thank you and welcome, and then Luke came out, and Luke doesn't like speaking in front of people. That's not him. He's quite a quiet person. He came out full on Italian. I thought, you've nailed that. Mm. He'd practiced it. He'd obviously had training in Italian, and he presented it. I was wanted to vote for him. I wanted to be the next prime minister just after that. And it's a classic media thing. It's like 1-0 to Europe, but he just set the tone there. And I think Tommy Fleetwood said in an interview yesterday, we have so much respect for Luke. He's up here for us. And the relationship he has, even with his big players. So when Rory McIlroy and John Rahm go into the Ryder Cup team, they leave their egos at the door.
Yeah.
And that's what the European team is all about. And the respect that they have for Luke, what he's done in the game. You know, he's been world number one. He's been Europe number one. How good he is in the European Ryder Cup. He treats it like a job. You know, it was only a 1 year job for him, which might mean he'll give it another go because he didn't have the full 2 years. However, it is a lot for a captain. You know, it's a full time job, which isn't paid. I mean, obviously he'll get paid in other ways, sponsorship wise. But I do think that is the real chance of Europe winning in Bethpage, sticking with the same captain. The Ryder Cup is now statistic. We all go on about analytics and who to pick. We can't just have a different captain every single year, just be like, oh, should we give it him because he's nice? No, we need somebody like a manager at football. And it happened in the Solheim Cup. Katrina Matthew won at Glen Eagles in Scotland, then went over to America and won there. It's going to happen the same. Suzanne Pettersson's doing back-to-back. I think it would be great in order to get the win in Bethpage if Luke Donald does it. However, I also understand that he's got three children and a wife, and he might not want that commitment. And he's on a high now.
Of course.
It can only go wrong, can't it?
Like, being a captain for an away Ryder Cup, like, you're already way up against it. Like I said, the stats are so heavily against you. But what I felt was quite interesting with kind of like Luke Donald coming into this and captaincy is this fact that since Liv, we have lost a lot of potential new captains. You know, or you would have 100% could have seen Ian Poulter being the captain at Bethpage. That's right up his street. Lee Westwood, obviously Stenson, he was it, and now he wasn't it. Graham McDowell, Martin Keimer, the list goes on. Like, there's probably not many other where are you actually going to, which direction would you go? I mean, probably a natural fit would be Justin Rose, but who's saying he wouldn't be playing in the next one in 2 years' time? Like, there also isn't that many options.
No, you're right. I don't know if it's totally out of the question that a Liv player will ever captain again.
Yeah.
But maybe 2 years' time, I don't know if it'll be too soon. You normally look at who's vice-captaining for Luke Donald that week, because obviously Luke was a vice-captain, then he moved up. And you think, well, Thomas Bjorn's already done it.
Yeah.
Jose Maria Lafabelle was there, already done it.
Molinari's
would maybe be the next ones to look at. Nicholas Coulthart was one. But yeah, it seems, I think that those players at some point do need to be given a go, but things need to be sorted out before then. You're in safe hands with Luke Donald, aren't you?
That's what I mean. There's a couple of things I want to touch on. First off, there's obviously with Liv coming out and all these team elements and like people are trying to get behind this team and everything else. But nothing matches, and you saw it at the Solheim Cup, you saw it here at the Ryder Cup, that passion that you have either for USA or Europe. And it's like, it really means something. Like, every single shot really means something. And as a fan, certainly if you're obviously from Europe or USA or the President's Cup, when it's kind of USA versus the rest of the world, so to speak, like, it really grips you, doesn't it? Like, it really gets you.
It's history, Rick, and Liv doesn't have that. You know, you can't make up history. What do we remember? Like, what was your first Ryder Cup memory? It was X and Y. Like, Justin Rose spoke about it. He wasn't speaking about stuff that had happened in the 90s. He was going back to the 80s, the 70s, Seve. You know, Seve changed golf for Europe. John Rahm's dad went to Valderrama in 1997 and watched it. That's the reason John Rahm plays golf. That's how significant the Ryder Cup is to John Rahm and his family. If his dad didn't go, John Rahm doesn't exist in the golfing world. Same with me. It's like, can you remember your first Solheim Cup? Yeah, of course I can. There's the history and there's a representation at one point of the European Tour against the PGA Tour. Things have changed since. But Shane Lowry, I was out with him a few times. He's won the Open Championship in his home country. And he says, the Ryder Cup's the best day of my life, the best weeks of my life. I mean, it was the best day of his life before he won. Yeah. He lost at Whistling Straits and he said it was the best day. There's something about coming together as a team. Most of these players would have loved to have been a footballer and they weren't. They're a golfer. So they're in an individual sport. They're all coming together. By all accounts, the European team was very together. It happens, you know, once every 2 years, and the standard of golf in match play, it was like the amount of chip shots that were going in, the amount of putts that were going in, and I think it's not only you're playing for your country, you're playing for your European or your American, but you're playing for each other, and the fans can cheer for all of you, you know. We're going to talk about Patrick Cantlay, I'm sure. But Patrick Cantlay, every time he walked past an American yesterday, we love you, Patrick. They were just rallying behind him. Patrick Cantlay's never had that in his entire life. Like, nobody cares too much about Patrick Cantlay other than his family and friends when he goes to a PGA Tour event.
And his bank manager.
Yeah, but when he's got red, white and blue on him, he's one of theirs.
Well, should we touch on that next? Because he was, unfortunately, kind of the villain out of this Ryder Cup. There always is one, you know, certainly from the other, you know, I think when European go over to, when it's Bethpage in 2 years' time, I think McElroy. I think McElroy is going to get it really hard from the Americans. You were saying like they're going to need to up the security and everything else. I mean, it's crazy. But Patrick Cantlay kind of had this villain this year. There was all this cap gate. We don't know how much that was actually even true about this kind of break in the camp, or whether it's just that the hat didn't fit him rather than him not wearing a hat. Because at the end of the day, I don't kind of get the hat relevance, really. Just because he's getting paid or not getting paid, which a different topic. I do think the players should get paid. I think there should be some sort, and they get benefits, of course, to do. When you're a Ryder Cup player, your sponsorship goes up the next year when you're starting to redo contracts. But like, I feel like I don't think they need it. But also, you look at that spectacle. Why was there 70,000 people there every day? It's to go and watch Rory, Rahm, Spieth, Brooks. Like they go in to watch those guys, aren't they, really?
Yeah, but I get where you're coming from, but then what about the captain's picks?
Yeah.
So you can get picked for something that you get paid for. So you probably have to go point, down 12, wouldn't you? England footballers get paid a bit, but they give it all to charity.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't get paid, I like that even more.
Yeah, well, you know... I can probably see that. I think I probably jumped a little bit the gun there. And you've just put that really nicely, the fact that imagine a captain just picking his mate just so he gets kind of paid, really. I also think the pairings, it could be a little bit more fractured if, like, say, these players are dependent on payment. Certainly if the winning team get paid, like, suddenly Brooks is turning around going, no, if I'm getting paid, I don't want to be partnered with him, thank you. I'm going to win with this guy.
What fractures the world? Families, friends,
religion,
golf,
money.
What has ruined golf recently? Money. No, so that's why I'm a bit scared about them getting paid.
You were in the Cantlay group, weren't you, when he was walking down 16? I was on 16th when the whole
were you one
crowd,
of them?
I was definitely one of them. You better believe it. My hat was off and I didn't have a single thing. I didn't have a clue what they were chanting. Like, what was it now? Was it something like... hats off to your bank
hats
account.
Hats off to your bank account.
I didn't know that was it at the
where's
time.
Where's your hat at, Pat?
You is know, that another
the,
one?
Yeah, where's your hat at? Where's your hat at, Pat?
So when they were shouting, like, caps off, and it was like, I've not got a clue what they're singing, but my hat was off and it's waving around and the whole scene was
I reckon 10,000 people had the hats off.
Ridiculous. I mean, to be honest, he owned it. He really owned it. He big smile on his face, and he just, and I kind of, you want that from a little bit of a villain, quote unquote. But it was interesting, like, you look at the kind of fractures. There's always rumours that come out around Ryder Cup. It's like, oh yeah, you know, Sachs lost a dressing room or this, that and the other. I mean, it spices it up, doesn't it? It really gets it going. Then you tie in the fact that buddy Rory and Joe LeCava was, I mean, Rory's got to be mates with Joe LeCava through Tiger, surely. And you're getting that on the 18th hole. I'm thinking it was exactly what the final day needed. That Saturday night absolutely set the torch alight, because it kind of, at that point, it was fairly placid. We were dominating in the victory. It looked like it might have been quite an easy Sunday. But that bit of passion and that bit of controversy, oh, I was all over it. It was so good.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and it needed spice. And I said, the irony, it's taken an American caddy for this thing to hot up. Like, come on, guys, there's 12 of you and none of you could get the team going.
I think Tiger was probably watching from home a bit bored and going,
go on, Joe.
Yeah. Just wind him up a little bit.
I'm on that group, and I mean, Cantlay... Everyone goes, you really like Cantlay, don't you? I like him for what he is as a player. He gets the most out of himself. He finishes birdie, birdie, birdie against a Rory McIlroy on the back nine, which was obscene. I mean, he was driving par fours. That chip he did on 17, that's the best shot I've ever seen live.
I was going to say, what are your almost three best shots? So you've obviously
that's
just answered
one of them,
on that,
but we'll
finish
we'll
that
come
story
back
in a minute.
To that. So then... you know, down 18, and he plays a terrible chip shot, Cantlay, like 30, 40 feet past it. And I thought, well, you know, it's probably going to be a half now. And then he just walks one in, steps one in. And I thought it was quite nice how both caddies, Wyndham Clarks and Cantlay's take their hat off and as if to, and just kind of wave it round. So I thought, oh, that was cool. And then I don't know if the TV got that. The American team were at the front of the green and they saluted them back.
Yeah, we saw that.
So then the next thing I know, Patrick Cantlay, who hasn't got a cap on, does a fake thing, like tips his cap to the crowd. So I think, that's great. I quite like that. I didn't feel that that was too over the top. But from where we're standing, we're not quite sure what... We didn't know if, like, Joe's just gone over... We didn't know what was going on. Finishes, and Rory and Joe are, like, squaring up. And I'm thinking, like, you are their friends. Are probably just having a chat. Rory's saying, like, the... And then it all happens. Rory's in the car park, isn't he? Like this, giving
so
it...
So good. Who was he actually giving
bones.
It... To, why was...
Well, he had to apologise to him by text to say, I'm sorry, I was just on one. But Rory apparently comes back into the team room after it's... And everyone's like, what's happened there? And he's like, that's it. We are basically standing on like their throats. We are going for the kill tomorrow. They've disrespected us. So it wasn't the Cantlay cap off. They weren't bothered about that. It was what Joe LaCava did.
It was so good. It was honestly so good for... And you know, the final day... was really, really good. Like, the USA were phenomenal.
It was close at one point, wasn't
it? They were phenomenal last day. It was like, but they always are in singles.
Yeah.
They're so much better as singles than they are in four balls or foursomes. And they came out, and we obviously stacked it really top heavy. You think, well, the first four is going to win. This is going to be over in 3 hours. Like, it's not going to be much of a competition. That absolutely didn't happen. I mean, the Americans just put on a display. And it ended up...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming to group 11 out of 12. And I was present on 16 when Tommy hit that driver. That, for me, is the shot of the tournament. I know it's the one that's kind of this iconic one. Rory's chip was just different level.
But what I loved about the Tommy one was, obviously, Fowler's knocked it in the water, like middle of the pond.
That was a tough match for me to watch because I've had them both on the channel. I really like both of them. They're really nice guys. I almost
Tommy's ace, isn't he?
He's so good. He's so good. But like, I was watching going, oh, please don't. I just didn't want someone to like proper mess it up or someone get battered. I felt real kind of a bit sorry that Ricky put it in the pond there on 16. But then to step up there and do what he did.
He didn't change clubs, did he?
No. I'd have laid up. I don't think a single player laid up, by the way, that week. Every single one
Everybody
of them
went
for it.
Everybody went to it. So it's 304 yards downhill. And what people don't realise is that from the tee, if you've got to go on that green, you've got to play it all the way over the water. I didn't see many players hit the cut left to right. A lot of them tried it, but they didn't cut it because that means the ball is moving towards the water. And you, like most pros, like to shape it away from trouble, not into trouble. So they were all just hitting it in the bunker.
Yeah.
And his caddy, Finno, said it's the straightest shot I've ever seen Tommy hit. It was just from A to B, like that, under that much pressure. It catches the slope and just rolls down to, 30 feet for Eagle. And, well, he won the last Ryder Cup in Paris, didn't he? Well, the last European one. Molinari did, didn't he? But he was right there for it. It was when Mickelson knocked it
in the water.
But then he was up there for it. Tommy, I've known since he was like 13, and he's such a nice lad. And then you just think, God, he's so good at golf. I know it sounds like, obviously, but he's, if this doesn't propel him to major success, doing it in the, I mean, it doesn't get harder than a Ryder Cup, and he's done it twice now. I mean, at the point, what is he, 7-2? Like 5-2, I think he is, points. Seven-two he's got.
Jeez. I mean, I love the partnership of him and Rory.
Fleetwood Mac.
I mean, that's
that song was playing all the time everywhere.
Just pick it for the name.
Yeah.
And he just rips that driver on the green. Like I said, I was present on 16. The place erupted. It was absolutely bonkers. And to be honest, the scenes straight after that was even more bonkers. I'm not sure if you've seen this just yet. So the first thing was, obviously,
when does that happen? So talk us through. They hit it on the green.
Yeah. Ricky went in the drop zone, played it up there. Obviously, didn't he? Tommy rolled it down to about 3 or 4 feet, a bit longer than I would have liked to have seen it, to be honest.
It wasn't. I've seen it back.
Was it? I was watching live.
It's 2.5 maximum.
All right, okay. So obviously Ricky gives it him. He then secures a dormy two. He's got the final half point that we needed. And the scenes, the crowds, and then out of nowhere, an elder gentleman with nice beige slacks, a white shirt, white hair, white beard. Looks a bit like the guy from KFC. What's he called? The guy from KFC called now?
Colonel. Isn't it?
Just the Colonel.
Yeah, just the Colonel.
Darts out of the crowd. Goes straight past Ricky. Straight past Tommy, straight past Finno. Tommy's caddy was massive. And Finno at one point was like just about to kind of go for him and thought, nah, I'll just leave that.
It's just, he's going to not hurt anybody.
And he just kind of stumbled into the pond, really. But then the scenes after that, Sophie.
So he's jumped in.
He's swimming around. Everyone's going absolutely mental. Security aren't really doing anything. They don't seem that arsed. Like, they're just letting him do it. He then gets back out and everyone's like, one more time. One more time. He turns around. He legs it back in. He then dives in. The crowd are going bonkers. I think he did it 2 or 3 times. Then the next thing he did, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life, the next time he comes out, starts a thunderclap. The whole crowd was thunderclapping with the Colonel in the 16th pond. Then I don't know if the TV showed this, I've not seen it. Then it became an absolute party zone. About 5, 6, 10, 20 people were in the pond. They're swimming around, they're cheering, they're chanting, the fairways are getting absolutely... And I think there's one match left.
I was going to say Bob Mack's back there, isn't he?
So they had to kind of move people. That match, did it get to 16?
Let me see, I've got the scores here.
I'm not sure if they got to 16 or not. You've got guys in the bunk.
Bob McIntyre won 2-1. So he did get to 16.
So I can't quite remember how they moved people around. You had guys in the bunker doing sand angels. It was astronomical. I loved every minute of it. And if I was any closer to that pond, I would even put the in. At this point, Sophie, we have a bit of a running joke on the channel that normally I'm Rick. Okay?
Ricky comes
quite
out.
Quite a professional Rick. Ricky was in full party zone. To be honest, Ricky was in party zone all week. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, everybody. When Rick turned up, he goes, first person he sees is me. He's like, I could do with some food. And then all the food had stopped. It was 3 o'clock. And he went, I think I'll just go find a beer then.
I didn't eat a lot. I drank a hell of a lot. It was seriously, I was very, very thankful again to Sky Sports who invited me. I didn't need to do anything. I just literally was there mingling with people. I spoke to a few player managers, which for the main channel, wait to see what potentially is lined up this week, or not this week, in the near future. Just loving life, just meeting people, seeing old friends, hung out with Pete Loads, Peter Finch, Seb Carmichael Brown, Mia Baker, Connor Moore, you know, the impressionist. We were hanging around with each other all the time. It was absolutely electrifying. To some degree, it was a little bit like a stag party, like a stag do for me.
Well, I was saying today, we were on the plane and I was like, oh, I'm coming to do this podcast. And I said, I'm so jealous of the fact that he's just went there as a fan, because I went to Paris as a fan and I got lucky. I got inside the ropes one afternoon. Lee Westwood sorted me out. But I had corporate one day, inside the ropes the next, and I sat on the grandstands the next. And I actually said, I don't think it's going to get any better than this. No. And I was so jealous of you just roaming around.
I was.
Having a lovely time.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and if you watch it on TV and you think that looks good, get yourself there. Oh. Because you go, oh, but do you even see any golf? There's so many screens everywhere that you see loads of golf. Grab yourself a radio and have the best time of your life.
And if you can, go hospitality, I highly recommend it. But no, to be honest, there was elements where I was like in the thick of it. I'm like I say, getting on the first tee grandstand. I'm like, I'm just loving every single minute of it. Last night, I did end up at the after party.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting. That was a complete accident, weird fluke. I was in Rome. I got a message off a friend who said, I'm at the after party, I can bring a few people. They said, do you want to come? I'm like, absolutely. We had scooters, you know, the electric scooters.
Yeah, to go across town with
me,
that.
Me, Pete and Seb were on these electric scooters racing over to the players' hotel. I get in there and I'm thinking, this is surreal. I've just literally been at the golf club. I'm still in my golf gear, basically.
They were in pyjamas, though, weren't they, some of them?
That really helped. Because as soon as I walked in, I went, oh God, this is a bit posh. I took my hat off as I walked in the hotel.
Patrick.
Oh, this is a bit posh, this. And I'm thinking, everyone's suiting and boot, everyone looking great. And then the next thing, who was the first player I saw? I saw a few of the captains first. I saw Luke Donald there with the Ryder Cup, like literally about 30 seconds after being in the party. Bob McIntyre had his pyjamas on. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, I think I'm all right. These guys, no one was there for me anyway, but it's great to see. Chatted with Bob a little bit, chatted with Tommy Fleetwood loads, like just kind of gave him a big hug and just like thanked him and just said, thanks. Because that was ridiculous. That was the best day of my life. And obviously, he it's a better day for him. But I'm like, thank you. Like, it was so good. Who else did I chat to? Chatted a little bit to Tyrrell. Chatted to the Hogarth brothers, the twins. The dad's a big fan of the channel, so they actually came over and introduced me to the dad. I'm like, he's like, I love your stuff. And I'm like, are you joking? One of your boys has just won the Ryder Cup. Like, don't worry about me. But that was really nice. It was just the electric. I didn't complete a mission of mine, a life goal, which would have been drinking some fluid out of the Ryder Cup. But there's always next time. Do you know, I'm hopeful for this.
So was there any, you know, any inside gossip? Obviously there was some pyjama action going on.
So there was a lot more people there than I expected to be. And it was really, really nice, quite suave, quite swanky. And then again, I've seen all the players and this, that, and the other. And then about, maybe, I don't quite notice the time, but maybe like an hour after that, I was like looking around going, where the hell are all the players gone? There was an after party. There was a proper, good on them, a proper, nobody there, proper, proper tight-knit circle. They were upstairs in the hotel, and I'm sure all hell broke loose, good, because I was looking around this party thinking, this is a bit too civilised, like, go and get smashed up, fellas, like, you deserve it. So that was really nice. And yeah, it was just, like I said, my voice is quite hoarse, not only because of the chanting. I mean, I've lost so many days, I'm literally screaming, Tommy, 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 Tommy. The amount of times I've been chanting, ole, ole, ole. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I must admit, it's got stuck in my head so much. I love the chant. Oh God, I forgot it now. We're on the left.
We did it on the plane today.
How's it?
On the left side, oh, yeah, on the left side, on the left side
of the stand. And then you've got, we're the middle,
We did it on the plane today. And we're like, who's the middle? Air hostesses like this. But I don't know if you've seen them on
B. Yeah. B there in the middle.
If you saw them on the bus last night. What I love, so with professional golf, you win by yourself. And when you come and sell, like, people go, what did you do? What did you celebrate? You're the only one that's won. There's another 150 people that have not won. There's no one really to share it with other than your caddy. That, you're sharing it with everybody. You've gone up to them, thank you for the best day ever. Yeah. Imagine all the other people that are there as well that have come together for that one cause of winning the Ryder Cup and everything that it means to them. I was on 18 with Shane Lowry on the final day, because what people don't know about TV commentary is when your group finishes, you get sent back out into the trenches to go and find somebody else. So I followed Spieth and Lowry, and he's coming up 18, and this little pocket rocket runs past me, Rory McIlroy, full speed, and just jumps into Shane Lowry's arms. Shane's not finished the match yet, but he's one up. And he just thought, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's it.
It's just the crowd. Like when you get a hole put and you turn round and you can see it in the faces. Like, Justin Rose genuinely looked like a bloody gladiator yesterday. Like, his eyes was like, just, he wasn't going to let anything slip out of the hands. Like, and like, the turn round and his arms out, and it's just amazing. Like, you can see it in the face, and that from the European side and the US side. When the USA do the same, they're just the same. They're riling up the crowd. They're telling them to be quiet. They're it's like, oh my God. Like, I think there's a couple of things that takes, for me as a sporting event, I really, really, really think it does our game a world of good. I mean the amount of friends, casual sports fan friends I've got who don't really, not into golf one bit, texting me. Like, my brother-in-law never picked up a golf club in his life, texting me, oh my God, what's happening with Cantlay, what's this happening? I'm thinking, oh my God. And he'll be one of millions and millions and millions and millions of people around the world who will watch the Ryder Cup this week and go, that was cool. And like you say, who knows, John Rahm, dad 1997 watching it at Valderrama, he got little John Rahm into golf and he became a Ryder Cup player down the line. Like, that event this weekend is going to inspire millions of little boys, little girls. Solheim Cup is going to catch the attention of little girls and go, I'm like, that was pretty, like, I really like that, that was pretty cool.
It's like, people, like, so when I'm doing the work there, it's 16 hour days by the time you get on the bus there and the bus home. I'd do it for free. And like, telling my boss now, I would do that for free, because you don't want to miss it.
Well, that's it. It's for me, I've been to 4 Ryder Cups now. That was hands down the best. I think for a number of reasons. Obviously, I was very fortunate to play the golf course about 5 weeks ago, so I knew the course really, really well. So when straight away, when it's like match on hole 7, I'm like, oh yeah, I know 7, like, this little par 3 down the hill, slim green.
Hardest par 3 in golf.
Yeah, and when it goes to like, right, the match is getting tight on 16, you're like, oh, that's a drivable par 4. Last week, we had Dave Sampson on the podcast, the course
Met him, he's
architect.
Lovely.
I was so like, I texted him saying, I'm really proud for you. I feel like quite emotional. Like, this was your baby. This was your project. All those hours of blood, sweat, tears has gone into this, and it's worked. And he's just one individual of, again, thousands of people behind the scenes. To put the grandstands together, to be able to plan the logistics of travel in and out of Rome, and every single individual who made that Ryder Cup possible, like, deserves huge amount of credit. Like, the greenkeepers, the staff in hospitality, the chefs that fed everyone, and it's just like, it's crazy,
but
isn't
just
it?
They didn't miss a trick with anything. That's,
don't think they did.
As soon as you got walked in, the shop was there, right there. Then you went through the tented village. The driving range was in the tented village. Yeah. That is genius.
Clever.
Obviously the Open's different, but Hoylake this year, I never went to the driving range because it's the other side of the road. No. It's miles away. They've designed that is going to be in the tented village. He thought it through that much. And the walk, so did you get to do the walks over the bridges?
Thank God.
Oh, well, I did it just to, like, feel
Why
it.
Why not?
Yeah. So I thought, right, so between 9 and 10, I always did it. And then yesterday, I thought, right, I'll go have a little look at the trophy presentation. And as I walked up, Tommy was there. Tommy and Claire, his wife, were walking across it. And everybody's yelling the Tommy Fleetwood song. And I'm just like, I didn't want to like get 20, 30 yards behind him. And I thought, this is just like, what is this? This is just mega. Just how well they've thought about that bridge that goes across, and everyone's looking up, yelling at him.
It's like and then they watch the first tee. Entering the Coliseum. Like the artwork just around the first tee grandstand, genius.
Yeah.
To make that look like the Coliseum, just from a bit of detail. I was like, that's amazing. I'll be honest. I had my reservations about the Ryder Cup being in Rome.
Because...
I just, it's not a golf destination.
I didn't meet many Italians.
It's not, I was worried about, you know, 5 weeks ago, the bloody road outside wasn't built. The logistics of it all, I thought this might be a real damp squid. It could have become like, oh, we made messed up there. The fact it didn't. The fact it was so bloody good, like credit again to where credit's due. I know you have to wait every 2 years, which is so bloody frustrating. I can't wait for Bethpage already.
Bethpage is going to be off the scale. I mean, I thought Patrick Cantlay got abused, but in a good way. There was no swearing at him.
We're quite humorous, aren't we?
Yeah, it was a generous.
If we
crowd
say,
and
say so ourselves.
Yeah, but Bethpage is going to be vicious for those New York fans. They will go for you, won't they?
Have you done a away Ryder Cup or Solheim Cup?
No.
I've not.
I'm going to, though.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous about it, but I think it's got to be something I want to experience. Do you want to touch on one thing? Have you seen the picture that Brooks Koepka posted last night?
With the T-shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler, Max Homer, Xander Schauffele, and who's the fourth? I'll take a screenshot of it.
Homer's not going anywhere.
So he's posted a picture from what looks like...
What's his team called? Scorches.
Smash. Oh, and Sam Burns. So Brooks in the middle. You've got Ricky Fowler, Max Homer, Xander Schauffele, Sam Burns, all stood there in blue matching Live Smash shirts.
Yeah, but Brooks does stuff like that, though, doesn't he? Remember,
Brooks
like the Bryson
does.
Stuff.
Brooks
he
does.
Throws stuff out there.
But the other guys, I'm not. That caught my attention this morning. I was like, no.
I don't think Max Homer's going anywhere.
We'll see.
I don't. Apparently, Xander and Patrick have had talks with them before, haven't they? That's the rumour.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they thought, well, can't win the Ryder Cup. Maybe we'll just go over there now.
Wow.
No, I don't know. We need to go back to the... Let's not let this ruin Ryder Cup chat. Let's go back to your favourite shots.
Tommy Fleetwood's drive.
Yeah.
Not even a question. I didn't see it live, but the Rory McIlroy chip that you did see live... And again, I didn't see it live, but well, I did and I didn't. I didn't actually see it with my own eyes, but it was, I think it really set the tone for the week was Victor Hovland's chipping on one.
Yeah.
I just think it really set the tone. It's like, here we are, just off the green. Again, not known for his short game prowess of years. Stands up there in the most pressurised situation in the world on a first hole at the Ryder Cup and chips in. What?
Foursomes as well.
What? How'd you do it? I don't know. I just don't know how to do it. John Rahm chipped in a handful of times. Fleetwood chipped in, you know, on 16 where he didn't even see it going in. I was just like you mentioned before, the calibre of golf is just outrageous. I'm trying to think. I felt like I've been very European heavy here. And listen.
Patrick Cantlay's shot into 17 against Rory McIlroy meant that his chip was insignificant.
Yes.
That was a really, really good shot.
And listen, USA fans, I'm sure you listen to this going, bloody hell, Rick, so forgive it a rest. We understand. But listen, I'm certainly very, 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 very biased on this show towards Europeans because I'm a European. I'm sure you are probably the same. You know, we're not... Unfortunately, I'm guessing you might not enjoy this podcast to USA fans. So sorry if we've been a bit European heavy, but those type of shots under that much level of pressure, just aspirational, inspirational. make me realise, not that I ever need any doubt of this, and it should make everyone else realise who listens and watches, these guys are built different. The golf games are brilliant. The women at the Solheim,
Carlotta or Caroline.
No, the shot into the 17th.
Saganda, yeah. Carlotta Saganda, yeah.
What?
I know. Just leaves the club face, be good.
Okay, it's going in there.
I don't get it.
But also, what? To be fair, your Tommy Fleetwood shot, no one else can do. Like, I couldn't do that. I can't hit it as far as that. The shots that I was most impressed with is the Rory McIlroy chip. You don't need to be a power player to play that shot.
No.
Theoretically, physically, we could play it, but we can't, can we?
Mentally, I can't. Mentally, I can't.
Like, off that tight lie, it's about 6-7 feet above him, and the reaction from the players.
Oh.
So Matt Fitzpatrick goes like this and shakes his head as if to go, what? John Rahm goes, ooh, like his little lips come together as if to go, what have I just seen?
Yeah.
And that's what's cool, I think, about Rory, because we watch shots from the Ryder Cup and think, I can't do that, never in my wildest dreams. He hits shots that Ryder Cup players go, I couldn't do that.
I know.
Like, he's just...
I kind of also, just in the build-up, I love this idea that the guys were going out playing and kind of practicing and stuff. And you could see, again, like, Victor Hovland was hitting these shots, these little chip shots that he's hitting around the green. And you're right, like, John Rahm's watching, taking notes, chatting to him, how'd you play that? Like, the actual, probably the intel that gets spread in that week between the European players and the USA players must be incredible for each one of those Ryder Cup players. Like, I bet they really kind of, certainly the rookies will have learned a hell of a lot. I don't particularly feel like there was a weak European at all. You know, it feels like the picks were brilliant. The cap, it was just perfect.
When you win,
it's easy,
it's perfect.
It's easy. I reckon we'll win for the next 10 Ryder Cups.
Do you remember Whistling Straits when it was like, we'll never win again? That's it. 2 years ago, this is it. And now we're like, well, yeah, we'll do three in a row, won't we? It's just dead easy.
Isn't it weird? Like,
do you know why? Like, the way we're talking now. So when I first started my commentary career, I got a bit of advice and someone said, you don't talk about golf the way you talk about your football team, in the way you're emotional about it, even though I love it. We're talking about the Ryder Cup like it's a football team.
Mm.
How animated. We're both very tired, everybody, like beyond tired. Yeah.
You because of working too hard.
Because of partying too hard. But how excited are we? And that's what the Ryder Cup gives you. It gives you it in here. Gives them it as well.
I think that's
a bit of merch, actually.
Look at you. Yeah. I think we've done it justice today, Soph. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. I reckon I started the podcast maybe on 17% battery. I've just gone into the danger zone. I feel like I've slipped below 5% now. I feel like that last bit's just really taken it out on me. So I promised everyone I'd do a podcast. I'm here. We've got here all the way from Rome this morning. Hopefully you've enjoyed the episode, everybody. Be sure to check out Sophie on all of her social media. We'll link it all below. Thank you. It's lovely having you on, as always. And here's to Bethpage in 2025.
Get your tickets booked. We're going, aren't we?
We're going.
I want to go with you. I don't want to work. I just want a Ricky Shields.
You come with me, Soph. I'll show you the ropes. You don't worry about that. I am a bit more worried in New York. But anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And we shall see you next time. Come on, Europe. Well done, guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.